That's right. You're listening to the High Spot Podcast alongside my tag team partner, Jeff Moore, and I am Brian Berger. Catch us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. Jeff, it's been too long, my friend. Been too long since I've seen you last. A lot of things have changed in the world of professional wrestling. A lot of things that actually have got me excited. When was the last time you and I spoke about, wow, actually being excited about events that were leading up or potential rumors, which are always circulating, never live up to the billing? And now we're in that period after post-WrestleMania. The season is over, but a lot of things to look forward to in the near future, not just in pro wrestling, but in sports in general, which we'll dive into as the weeks go by, as things become a little bit more exciting, not just in the professional wrestling world, but in sports and entertainment in general.
Brian, it is good to be back with you here at the High Spot Podcast. Again, follow us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. I guess I'm just doing that for practice because, you know, I got to get it right eventually.
Yeah.
But no, honestly, it is good to be here. And you're right. After WrestleMania, there tends to be a hangover. There tends to be just a time where just things get bland and everything resets. But there's a lot to talk about. The Bullet Club angle is starting to take form. And just lots of things going on in the world of WWE and just the wrestling world in general and also in entertainment. And, you know, we're offering you a variety of those things. And, you know, we are also transforming too, because not only a wrestling show, but just a little bit of everything. And that's what we're going to do here in the second half of the High Spot Podcast. So I'm excited, man. I mean, so much to talk about. Let's get started.
Yeah, let's get started on something that recently hit the airwaves or hit the internet world that we were discussing prior to doing this, was the mere fact that we were really excited during NXT TakeOver in Dallas of seeing Bobby Roode, as they usually do in TNA, and Eric Young, that there were potential free agents since they had left TNA, and we're wondering, is it a matter of time before WWE scrounges these guys up, or will they go to New Japan, or they go somewhere else differently and harness their skill? Now it seems like Eric Young is...
He's joined the fold.
Joined the fold. And now joined the revolution, as they want to call it, of NXT.
The new era of NXT, as Triple H so eloquently stated it on Twitter, the new era of NXT. And it started with Samoa Joe doing, I guess, the impossible live event, and that is beating Finn Balor.
That was something that threw me completely off. I thought that's something that they would probably do at an NXT TakeOver event, thinking that it bid that kind of change of the guards with Samoa Joe and Finn Balor, because it was only a matter of time through recent interviews with current WWE talent to people who knew Fergal Devitt, Finn Balor, that was just a matter of time before he's going to go up to the main roster. It was just a matter of when. And now this kind of bids the door open now for Finn. Is he going to leave? Is he playing the crowd? And the mere fact that Samoa Joe now is the new and current NXT champion, which is well-deserved because he's done nothing but reestablish, like you spoke of before, the monster and the animal that he was when he first was built up in TNA, kind of dwindled down a little bit towards the end of TNA, and was brought in as a space filler, but now he's shown that he's dominant, he's shown that he can carry that belt and be a force to be reckoned with NXT.
Well, I don't think he's a space filler. I just think they didn't know what to do with him, because, you know, he came in and the rivalry with Kevin Owens was kind of, you know, blah, didn't go anywhere because Kevin Owens got called up. And then there was a point where you're stalling. But, you know, Samoa Joe to me isn't a space filler. I just think
that's what they were portraying him to be in a way.
No, I just don't think they know what to do with him. But then ever since the whole lead up into TakeOver London, you know, they finally found out that this guy's a monster. It let him be the heel, and he had the flexibility to just go with it. And ever since, he's just been, like we said, the Samoan monster. And third time was a charm, and he beat Finn Balor in Lowell, Massachusetts, and he ended the 292-day reign, the longest ever NXT title reign by Finn Balor. And you're right, Bri, it opens up the questions. Is Finn Balor anywhere near close to moving up to the NXT, to the main WWE roster?
Well, here are going to be the main questions that go into Finn Balor's eventual call-up from NXT to the WWE main roster. One, can he handle the rigors of the road? As everybody kind of compares him, and you kind of mentioned him, I don't know if you were physically comparing him to Daniel Bryan.
But I didn't call him Daniel Bryan.
No, you're saying that most of the issues he might be having could be similar to Daniel Bryan. Does the WWE want to take a chance on somebody like Finn, who's literally not even 200 pounds? He's 190 pounds, 198 on a good day. So can he handle the rigors of his style working in the WWE? He's that talented. Is that going to work? Can he get over? Here's the thing. Finn Balor to me is the pure cut, cleanest baby face you could ever ask for and want to be a baby face for your company and have kids mimic him, because in terms of business standpoint, that makes sense. He can be relatable. The only thing that might be going against Finn right now would be, you know, his promo skills. I think he's done okay in NXT, and you could tell they kind of coddle him a little bit, but not in the same echelons of what happens to Roman Reigns. But he's very careful in what he says, and I like it that you don't have to say much in terms of Finn's case, but when it comes to situations of making it believable and causing the crowd to be invested, will he live up to that billing?
I just think he uses charisma. I don't think he needs to. It's not like Roman Reigns where you're worried about the charisma. I really think that he can do a good promo. Again, it doesn't have to be too long. He just oozes that charisma. He's got the look. You know, I know Roman Reigns has the look, but it's just something about Finn Balor that they're going to connect with him. I mean, they want him to come up. They're excited when he comes up. And to
and
me,
you can tell WWE has been protecting him a little bit, not in terms of
promos.
Sure,
it's right. They want to make sure it's right.
Because we know, you and I, Jeff, because of frustration, have been dealing with constant times and time again of people coming in the company, whether they're from NXT being called up or from other promotions being called in, and the WWE really just basically butchering it and not making it work. With somebody like Finn Balor, you don't have a second chance.
An event. It has to be special. Right,
and now the biggest question above everything else I stated is when and how do you bring him in?
And that's the main question. It's whether you want to involve him in the Bullet Club to be the leader, to come in as a face. What happens to the demon?
This is the first time in a long time that you and I can actually, along with the audience who listens to us and gives your comments on what you think about this on Twitter at High Spot Podcast, because everybody has a different angle in this. Leading up to Payback and the pay-per-view with AJ Styles, and now Gallows and Anderson, now part of not necessarily the Bullet Club in the WWE, but have been brought up now. There's so many ways you can spin this, so many ways you can do this in an interesting way. Jeff had a great idea of bringing them in as the new version of the New World Order, which I would love to see.
Japan, the Bullet Club, Nash and Hall gave their okay to do the too sweet and the fingers. So to me, listen, NWO, people of nostalgia, right? If you followed the same plan, even if you did exactly the same thing that happened 20 years ago when the NWO made their debut, when they started the whole thing with the Outsiders, even if you did that for the same thing, it would be so over now. Do the same thing. And I was a little bit disappointed with Anderson and Gallows that they made their debut last week. I would have thought it would have been special. I would have liked it if they would have just maybe beaten up the Usos backstage and then be like, hey, listen, we fight on the big events. You know, we fight for the money and stuff like that. And then like, we'll see you at Payback in Chicago at the Allstate Arena, boys. You know, something like that. Just like Hall and Nash did back in the day. So I hope that they have a chance here. It's a rare chance that we're invested in this angle, okay? And you can count on one hand how many times we've been invested in an angle the last, 5 years or so? Okay, this could be special. And if you just follow the basic diagram of how to book this, then it should be easy. And to me, Finn Balor in the Bullet Club would be great. But I said that they represent either the authority or Shane McMahon.
Yes, and you mentioned that there are different ways of doing this. I think the audience now is invested regardless of what's going on here. The only issue is whether they drop the ball on it, whether it becomes stale or too predictable. That's the last thing you want to do in terms of this new age of social media. And just, we've seen a lot in our days, whether it's the diehard fans, which we consider ourselves to be, or the mediocre, or the fans that go in and just generally watch and don't really follow the storyline, know the history behind it like we do. It has an intrigue about it, and you're invested in it. Now it's to see how it pans out. You're right. It could be on the authority side. It could be an entity now for Shane McMahon, or it could be something of an entity of its own. It could be theoretically like the Outsiders. Listen, we're not with the authority. We're not with Shane McMahon. We don't even want to associate ourselves with WWE.
We're not the good guys. We're not the bad guys. We're the guys. Still waiting for that shirt to
come
out.
We're a bunch of guys in a club.
Exactly. But I really think before though we get to that though, we should rewind a little bit and just let's just give the Eric Young signing a little bit more in depth. Bobby Roode still hasn't signed supposedly, which we think it's pretty much done, right? But these are two guys that signed the same time in TNA, left the same time in TNA, and now are about to join on the ride for NXT. And what everyone's saying is that the deal is going to be like part-time wrestlers and trainers, a little bit of both. But to me, I just think that NXT, here's my question to you. Do you think that NXT is about getting the names in there, or is it about still building the future?
I believe it's still about building the future, and I can see how somebody could see it from that perspective. Again, we don't want to fall in the same category of what happened, no offense to TNA, where they were establishing young stars, and they brought in the big names like a Christian, a Kurt Angle, the Stings, the Nashes, the Halls, the X-Pacs, to give it some validity, when all you had to do was use those same existing stars to establish your talent, which was your main talent. So I think NXT in this situation can fall under the same loopholes and errors, but I don't think it'll happen, though, because you don't get a guy like Bobby Roode and Eric Young just because you want him to get over. I think it's without a shadow of a doubt their main goal is to make it to the main roster and to be in the main roster, but they're going to be used as added bonuses to help the younger talents, for example.
Because you got
to
be the name, right?
You got to be the name. There's got to be somebody in there of some validity and some history behind them to make whoever it is you're working on, as they call it, the potential rub, to give that guy the rub so then he knows that, listen, this guy is somebody to watch for, whether it be in the tag team division, whether it be in the singles competition. There's no doubt whether Bobby Roode signs or not. To me, it's a matter of when. When he does sign, I think his stint in NXT will be short-lived, and he has to make it to the main roster. This guy's done too much in his career to really just stay in NXT. Same thing for Samoa Joe and Eric Young. Eric Young, I don't know, will be that main event style's caliber like a Samoa Joe, I feel, or a Bobby Roode, but Eric Young is so multidimensional that he'll just help whoever he does work with in NXT, and if he brings that to the main roster, I mean, you and I joked about it before. He's like a version of Daniel Bryan, what they tried to do with him over there. He can be that version of whatever you want him to do. He'll do it, and he'll do it well.
And again, if you take a look at this now, the rosters, look at Samoa Joe, over 35. Bobby Roode, over 35. Eric Young, over 35. Shinsuke, as much as we love him, over 35. You take a look at the roster now. You know, you talk about Paul Cruz is up on the main roster. He was like in his early 20s. And you take a look at the young guys that are leaving, and now...
And the only Let's not thing, forget Finn Balor. He's not young.
Well, 34. Hey, I'm 34, so I'm still a young guy. So, but if you think about it, though, there are going to be the critics that are going to say, wait a minute, now the older guys are it's maybe going to be TNA heading over to NXT. I don't think so, because I think at the end of the day, WWE knows that these guys are here to get the new faces over, because the new faces are the future.
We have to look at it from this perspective, Jeff. How many times have we heard diehard fans and fans in general of the product of WWE or professional wrestling saying, we want new stars now? What does Triple H, Vince McMahon, anybody who's in promotion say? It takes time to build them. The time is now. Not to steal anything from NXT, but they've established these stars. Guys like Bobby Roode, Samoa Joe, Eric Young, Finn Balor, Shinsuke Nakamura, Sami Zayn, Adrian Neville, you know, the Gallows Anderson. These guys are established stars. Their main job right now is to reestablish themselves to a higher audience, let themselves be more well-known. I can't believe I left AJ Styles out of that as well. I apologize, AJ, for that. I really do.
No, well, he's on the main roster, though, so...
But the point I'm making is these guys need to be in the main roster now, because they will help the younger talent develop and give them more time on the back end, so that when, you know, these guys theoretically are still in their prime, will carry over enough time where 5 or 10 years from now, who knows, when they get into their 40s, they don't want to be doing this anymore. And then the roster brings itself up, and then it'll be a smoother transition, as if you're just bringing up newer guys that we have no idea who they are.
And let's not forget Austin Aries. You forgot about Austin Aries.
Yes.
We're not trying to slight anybody here.
I'd be taking forever on this roster.
So we go now into Payback. And Brian, this has the looks of being one of the better cards, not SummerSlam, not Survivor Series, not Royal Rumble, not WrestleManias, in a very long time. And, you know, if I'm a person in New York, if I'm a person in, you know, Texas, or I'm a person in Maine, I'm looking at, why does Chicago always get these great cards? You know, because I'm telling you what.
I don't think about it that way. I'm just glad we got a good card. There's been years and years of Payback having horrible cards, or just the card after WrestleMania just being completely horrible in terms of storyline and investments and of, you know, the part-timers leaving. So to me, I'm actually excited. And you know more than anybody, Jeff, I am a hard man to impress. I have high standards.
And
you look at this card and I'm actually smirking like, wow, this is actually pretty good. And kudos to the WWE for getting that out of me, because I rarely say that.
What match to you are you looking forward to the most?
That's like asking me which kid do I love. If I had kids, I would say, you know, I love them both the same equally. But in this case, it's I can say with confidence in my heart that the match I'm looking forward to the most, not for the outcome of I know who's going to win this, Roman Reigns and AJ Styles. I know what the outcome is going to be theoretically. Roman Reigns is going to retain the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. My interest in this main event is, one, can AJ make Roman look good? Because if he can, it's just a thumbs up on AJ and gives him better chance to continue on that main event status and not completely dwindle down after this one-and-shot deal. And what happens in terms of the Bullet Club or Balor Club?
That's
what happens?
That's what I'm worried about.
That's what I'm more looking forward to watch.
I know AJ Styles can carry Roman Reigns. I really believe so. I want to know what the outcome is. And then something that I heard during the promo for Payback is the first pay-per-view of the new era. What does that mean? Did that add some sort of hint to what's going to happen Sunday at Payback?
Well, that hints the equivalent of, you know, Finn Balor after losing to Samoa Joe going to the crowd and say, I'll see you Monday. It could mean something or it could not mean something, but that's the beauty of it. We're here now debating about this because in the past,
if it goes to the authority,
it was so cookie cutter.
If it goes to the authority, it's not a new era. If it goes to Shane McMahon, it could be a new era. Or if they do brand split again, it could be the start of a new era. And when I heard that, that's the first thing I thought of, and I got chills because I don't want to see that.
I don't want to see that either. I mean, I think bringing in the newer talent that we're seeing now from former promotions and the call-ups from NXT have made this roster more full. But now you have to understand, too, we're going to have some guys coming off the injury list pretty soon. I mean, Cesaro's already one hit's off there, and he's running around now as his new persona of James Bond, or as I call him, the Transporter. You know, he looks amazing.
I like that one better.
I think he looks exactly like Frank Castle. But again, we'll dive into that another time. But I think it's
Frank
great.
Castle the Punisher?
Oh, yeah, Frank Castle. Sorry, I was thinking of
Jason Statham?
Jason Statham, yeah. And his character is completely different in that one. But again, you see where I'm going with this, though. It's a more darker, more business type of thing, which is great for Cesaro. But that being said, we have these newer guys coming in. Not newer, in their prime, have established stars. We have stars that are injured coming back. John Cena, perfect example, too. Where does he fit in this? I think a brand extension makes sense if you're looking at it from that perspective of we need to allow each of these individuals time to be seen by everybody. Because if you bunch them all in the same show, we know who's going to get the time, the TV time, which is valuable in this business. The unfortunate thing is you only hope they do it the right way, which they make a show like SmackDown establish that as to not necessarily a B show, but a other option to establish your young stars, similar to how Paul Heyman used to run it, where you would see younger talent or faces you weren't aware of, and they would establish themselves there and then bring them up to the main roster the proper way. That's what makes me worried about.
You know what the problem was, though, to me about SmackDown? Yeah, it did establish new stars, but there's also so much time you can invest to wrestling in your week. I know you got a long schedule, busy schedule keeps you, you know, at the crazy hours that you work at. I got a crazy schedule. So I know I'm going to dedicate 2.5 hours to Raw, okay? And then I'm going to add, you know, my hour to NXT. Now, for me to watch SmackDown and add another 2 hours to that, even though it's back-to-back days, that to me is, are people going to invest, if you have a brand extension, into SmackDown unless you put equivalent stars on the same show?
To me, the only way it works is not necessarily having SmackDown back-to-back with Raw. If you're going to make this work, SmackDown has to be the equivalent of a Raw in the sense it has to be a live atmosphere where anything can happen.
It has to go live.
I understand that's a lot in terms of production and how travel works for the WWE in terms of a business and how you establish that on a day-to-day, weekly basis. But it has to be done if you're going to really make this brand extension work. That's the only way I feel it works, and it kind of legitimizes the reason why you're doing it. If not, then you're basically just going to keep the same thing, and the unfortunate frustration that you and I always get are that what happens when the injury list gets cleared, the established stars come back, we start dwindling down. So that's the fear. That could be what we might ultimately see at the end of Payback, but right now, I'm not really thinking that far ahead. As more I'm thinking the new era is, you know what, we're done with the, no offense to John Cena's, but now Roman Reigns is going to be the face. Is going to be the new face of this company, and we're going to, you know, revolve newer and maybe edgier storylines, because there have been rumors too that they might be wanting to go back away from the PG and make it to PG-13, which isn't TV 14, but it's a little bit different, and so you might have some edgier storylines going into the new year.
I totally agree with that, and I totally think that they could go PG-13, but again, you take your point of view where you see that it could be the new era means something just basic like that. I get that, but I'm gonna think that it means something else. And to me, I just don't want to see the brand extension. I really am not a fan of the brand extension. And if you take a look,
would you be a fan of it if it was done the way I want it?
Totally,
or the way,
but I know it's not going to be. Okay. I know, for example, when Jericho was on SmackDown, it was tough to watch because our schedule was not around watching SmackDown. So we know that's going to be the stepchild of Monday Night Raw. And the last thing I want to see is a bragging rights again where Raw takes on SmackDown and stuff like that. They need to be separate entities, how you say. But again, I just liked it when the whole roster was there because I knew, oh, I could see, you know, this so-and-so on Monday, so-and-so on Thursday night, you know. It just, to me, I don't think they do it well. You have to do it well if we're going to get invested in it.
I completely agree in that aspect. You have to do it well. It has to make sense and should be done for the mere sake of doing it, because then you lose the interest of the audience, which is the main point of why you're doing it, because you want to make it more suspenseful and you want to give it the ability as if anything can happen. You get that with a live show on Thursday on SmackDown, and you get that with the ability of bringing newer talent in and mixing up different matchups that we haven't seen before. The old cliche, I've seen it once, don't want to see it again.
So as we, you know, finish up here previewing Payback, what do you think, besides the outcome of what happens with the Bullet Club, whether we'll see Finn Balor, whether we'll get the answers question to what Gallows and Karl Anderson are doing, the question to you is, you know, Vince McMahon is going to make his decision, Stephanie or Shane. So that's going to be interesting as well. And then, you know, what other match intrigues you here? What other thing? Do you want to do a prediction? Do you want to go one by one? What do you want to do here?
Well, I can honestly say I'm looking forward more to the women's championship matches, yeah, because I think Charlotte has done an amazing job in basically carrying that division and bringing in the new era. We were talking about a new era, bringing in the new era of the women's division, no longer the Divas. And so I think that is a cornerstone. She's going to be working with Natty. They've had great matches during NXT TakeOvers, which Natty basically put Charlotte on the map. I like how they're going back to kind of that storyline, revisiting that rivalry, which I never really felt lived up to its potential. The only downfall is you're including Ric Flair and Bret Hart in it, which Bret Hart wants
nothing
to do with it. And I think really it's about these two women battling out for the women's championship.
How about Flair, though? How about the report with Flair on the airport? That's got to be...
That's so disappointing. Again, I don't want to be the judge.
Take the benefit of the doubt. We'll wait till everything... You know, we hear everything.
Yeah, but you want to take the benefit of the doubt, but immediately your first reaction when you hear that is like, come on, man.
Nate being Nate.
Yeah, like, at one point, when does it stop? When do you stop Nate-ing? Seriously.
Yeah, when do you grow
stop?
Up, you know? When?
Not even growing up, but when do you use common sense? I mean, like, hey, you can do that when you're no longer booked or you're going on a flight to a show. Now, whatever the reasoning behind it was or what the story is, we'll find out as time goes by, but it seems it hasn't rubbed WWE the wrong way. He'll still be on TV, and you just hate that. I don't worry too much about it affecting Flair as I fear it affecting Charlotte. And that's what I want to make clear
here.
What happens, I don't want Charlotte to get the bad negative end of what Ric Flair does.
Eventually,
on his own.
What they'll do is they'll just basically say, okay, now it's time to break them up. And we'll, you know, that's what'll happen, which I think, to me, I wouldn't like. Everyone wants to already throw Flair out of there because he's hindering Charlotte. I don't believe so. I think he's helping her. But, you know, that's what people are going to say. Oh, we'll just, you know, just cut them off really fast. But so I think Payback is going to be great, and I think
what match are you looking forward to? I didn't get a chance to ask
Zayn and Owens. I mean, that,
yes,
to me, it was the feud of the year in NXT last year, which I personally voted it as the feud of the year. And you got Kevin Owens in the backstory, and
that promo they're doing is amazing.
If it got a little bit more time, it would have been like, wow. But it is already must see because I've known their story in NXT, so that's why I want to see how it happens here. But those promos, amazing.
Yeah, no doubt. That's another one to look forward to. That's one that probably could steal the show. No doubt about that. Those two know each other really well. And have had great matches in NXT and now bringing that over to the main roster. Which is the way it should be. You carry that over to the main roster.
Oh, I know. It is. So Payback's going to be great. And, of course, we talked about, Eric Young, Bobby Roode. What, you know, We've seen Eric Young debut. We've heard that he debuted at NXT tonight. And, you know, not only that, but we've got a great interview coming up. We've got Andy Gray, too, and we're going to talk about a bunch of things with him, talk about just how he got into SI.com and into Sports Illustrated, and just a great interview coming up ahead for you guys.
He's a wrestling fan, sports fan, knowledgeist as well, does great things. And those are the kind of stories we like because we're intrigued by it and should be a great conversation. I can't wait for it.
And believe me, when you're done hearing exactly what his job entails, you're going to get jealous, guys. You are.
I'm already jealous right now. You're listening to The High Spot. Catch us on Twitter again at High Spot Podcast. We'll be right back, guys.
All right, you're listening to The High Spot Podcast. You can follow us at High Spot Podcast on Twitter. Brian, great show lined up. We've got a great guest.
Always great shows lined up here.
And that is Andy Gray from SI.com. You can follow him at AndyGray25 on Twitter. Andy, how's everything going today, man?
Good. How you doing?
Busy sports week, end of the month, going into May. But I guess the main thing we were talking before was the NFL draft. And, of course, you're a Boston guy here. And, you know, they don't have a pick. And it's for you, what you were telling me, the silliest of reasons. How's it feel being a Patriot fan today?
I mean, it's really frustrating. And I know people don't really have sympathy from other places, but they didn't really do anything wrong at all. And if you follow the Flategate, like, actually closely and didn't, like, read all the media hyperbole, you'd realize that they did not do anything wrong other than a couple texts that were taken kind of out of context 6 months earlier. And so it's kind of annoying that this whole sports world talking about a draft and you don't have a first-round pick in it, but cry me a river. I mean, there's worse problems in the world than this. So I'm just going to focus on the Celtics game, which is also tonight.
I know, and you were telling me beforehand you have your, you know, you're gonna have all your whole attention focused on the Celtics. But you know, you talk about this draft, and most likely Wentz and Goff are gonna go 1 and 2. What about this draft more than anything has you intrigued about it?
It's kind of a weird answer, but the most intriguing thing is the lack of intrigue. Usually, there's like a couple like louder than life players, and a couple of like angles and a. Could be like a Johnny Manziel or a Tim Tebow, where will they go? And this year's is just, it just seems like it's pretty solid. I actually read something that all the prospects came up drug-free on their drug tests.
Oh, come on. There's no fun in that.
Yes.
What the hell?
It's really somewhat boring. So I think the most interesting thing for me is like trades, like last-minute trades and that sort of thing. And I actually really like just watching the reaction of the fans during the draft and booing and all that sort of stuff. So It'll be fun, but it's hard to really like say there's one particular thing I'm looking forward to.
Hey, Andy, it's Brian here, and just kind of piggybacking off what you just said, too. I mean, I remembered, and I don't want to, you know, date myself and make myself sound like an old man here, but I remember the draft being something really exciting. You had a lot of young prospects, and every draft pool's different depending on what solid guys are. Either you're not going to have a Peyton Manning or an Andrew Luck kind of caliber players in there anymore, or that much of an occurrence or every single year. But what do you think in terms of the way that people have been promoting this? I mean, moving into Chicago, does it really change the atmosphere or having just a first round just on one day in prime time? Is that making it any better or more exciting to the fans, you think?
I think it's maybe one day too much. I understand like dragging it out as much as possible for TV, but it seems maybe a little bit excessive at this point. The NFL's desire to control like all 12 months of the year. So I think it's kind of it was better when it was just two nights. I liked when it was in New York because I work at Sports Illustrated. It used to be held at Radio City, which is right across from us. So you kind of be right in the middle of all the excitement.
No, and you love to see the Jets fans making wrong pick after wrong pick after wrong pick, of course. And you, on your high pedestal as a Patriots fan, like, these silly Jet fans, right? That's the real reason.
Essentially, and the Jets fans, like, God bless.
He admits it completely.
The Jets fans are the best, and like they're so angry at the draft, no matter what happens. So I'm actually curious to see how Chicago fans are. Chicago fans are pretty good too, so I'm sure it'll be fine. But it seems a little much. I kind of prefer the more low key NBA draft.
So
and also yeah. How the NBA. I also like how the NBA draft is like right after the season ends too, so you're kind of still in the basketball mood.
I know, like, the NFL is the only place where they can prolong something for months and months. You know, the Super Bowl ends in February, and then the next thing you know, the draft is, like, kind of, you know, towards late April, and you're like, man, it's going to take forever, and they do a good job of prolonging that. But, Andy, I looked at your website here in the Hot Clicks and Extra Mustard section on SI.com, and I gotta tell you, man, if you're having a bad day or you just, you know, just want a good, you know, sense of humor and just a bunch of stuff you've on here, I mean, it's great, and I could be on that page for hours. Just tell us a little bit about yourself and where did you get started?
Well, I grew up in Boston, and I worked at a magazine there, the Harvard Business Review, which is kind of like a staunchy business magazine, and it was an awesome job. The people there were great, but it was like not really about what I cared about. It was more about management, theories of economy, and things like that. So I wanted to work in sports, and I applied to a bunch of places. This is back in like 2003, 2004, and I applied to ESPN, SI, and didn't really get a whiff. So I went to journalism school and at Columbia, and from there I got an internship at SI. This is like 2005, and I've been there ever since. So I got lucky in that I kind of landed there due to an internship, because the people who are starting at SI now, it's kind of a lot more challenging just to get in the door. And then when you get in the door, it's challenging to kind of move up the chain. So I kind of got lucky, and my sort of expertise or field has always kind of been everything but the games. So the stuff that happens outside the lines. Extra Mustard, which you should all visit, is a kind of the home of all the offbeat sports stuff. And I write Hot Clicks a couple times a day, which is sort of a link roundup. And it's usually done by like 9 a.m. So it's posted when you get to work if you don't want to start working. So,
I never want to start working myself, but I've definitely visited it, Andy, and it's really great. And I told Jeff, looking at everything you do, I was like, man, I could be staring at these photos all day. You can't have a bad day when you're looking at this stuff. But at the same time,
especially the ladies you put on,
especially
there.
The ladies and the Heyman hustle and all that stuff, I can't complain at all. But looking at that, and you were talking about it before, it's amazing now at this time. It's, you know, most of the excitement nowadays with social media being as it is what's happening outside the games rather than the actual games themselves, depending on whatever sport you're covering, right?
Yeah, and our web traffic, you know, dictates it. I mean, Peter King writes a story, and it's going to be, you know, our highest story of the day because he's, you know, the best football writer in the world. But sometimes we have, like, really well-done profiles and writers followed an athlete for, you know, weeks to get this story, and then we'll put up something about, like, I don't know, two mascots got into a fight, and it'll get twice as much traffic as the well-thought-out research profile. And a lot of it's just because social media and people in general are kind of, I don't want to say dumber, but more...
You could say it if you want to.
Yeah, I mean, they're more into the things, you like know, those kind of quick hits.
Yeah, but I do think sometimes, though, the sports gets, like, mundane. Like, we're talking about the draft, right? And I was looking at your article, and there was a tweet that went out about Joey Bosa, who interviewed for the Cleveland Browns, and he basically interviewed in sweats and his hat backwards, and I'm like, wait a minute, it's not L.A., it's not New York, it's freaking Cleveland. I thought that was a dress code over there.
Yeah, well, he got in trouble for that, if I heard right, that they were, like, angry that he was dressed like that. But that's a much more interesting story than, you know, like someone who actually followed him around for, you know, or let me rephrase, like, if you followed him around for a couple weeks and got to know about him and wrote, like, a 3,000-word profile. I mean, like, the key for us is to find, like, that juicy 100-word story in there, a little nugget that we can pull out of a longer story that can kind of grab people's eye and bring them into the larger piece. That's kind of what the hope is when you do this, especially at a place like SI, which does so many sort of longer stories. You hope that you can kind of excerpt a smaller piece and drag people in and then say, you know, to read the full article, click here.
No, that's true, because nowadays that's what people are going for, the headline, you know, and if they see the same article and they see the same profile. But when you see something like that, wow, it's an attention grabber, and you're going to go, you know, have your eye towards that. And, you know, it just gets too mundane sometimes. But another thing here that you do too is what other sports are you a fan of or do you follow? Because I see there's like a wrestling thing too, and that's the kind of podcast we like to do, a little bit of wrestling, a little bit of all kind of sports. And any wrestling in your background that you followed?
Yeah, I mean, I've been a fan, you know, my whole life. I went to Boston Garden growing up a few times, and so I've always been a fan. But when I came to SI, it was a little bit of a outlier as far as what things we would cover, because it's wrestling, and in many ways SI is all about traditional journalism. So it's always kind of an odd mix, but I always was able to, you know, push a story through here and there, and it always did really well, or a photo gallery. So when, as I sort of went on at SI and I got more power or whatever, I was able to sort of recruit more wrestling writers and push it more. So what we do is, at least what we try to do is actual wrestling journalism, which is like, I feel really strongly about this, so like almost anyone can turn out like top 10 pile drivers of all time, and like those stories will do well, and we do them from time to time. But like, we actually have a weekly story which Justin Barrasso writes, and I think he's the best wrestling writer around, and he works his ass off, and he like goes to independent shows all around New England, and he puts out a weekly article every Monday with interviews. He does a top 10 ranking, he does news and notes, he does a 5 questions with someone. So it's really a great read. I'm trying to spread the word of it, because I think it's just one of those things that once people know about, they'll love, but it's just been kind of hard to get people to find out about it.
It's something like a couple of years ago, you laugh at it and you're like, oh, wrestling, who's going to be interested? But now you see it everywhere. So, you know, and I've read a couple things too, and no, it's very good articles.
Yeah. I mean, he was kind of a weird relationship with Justin. Oh, I don't mean to prop him up too much, but I love him. he did a whole thing on Macho Man Savage. Like, he talked to like 15 different wrestlers, and he did this whole story. It was like a 10,000 word profile of him, but he just did it on his own, and it didn't really have a home. And kind of, I worked with him to kind of reshape it and shorten it a little bit, and that was sort of what got the ball rolling, because it did really, really well for us, and it was able to succeed enough and get enough traffic to like convince our editors to sort of take it seriously. So now, you know, it's all about doing more and more and doing more reporting, which means that like guys actually have to go out to like NXT or go out to an independent Ring of Honor show or whatever and talk to the guys and get to know them before they become big, much the way a baseball reporter would talk to a minor league player, or football reporters talking to draft players tonight, so they'll have a relationship with them in a few years when they're bigger.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it goes back to the days of when I would get magazines of Pro Wrestling Illustrated, and you look at top 10 rankings, or you would find out who the next big star was in terms of other countries like Japan or Mexico or things of that nature. So, yeah, I definitely respect those articles that come out, because I think now more than ever, the WWE or WWF back then are trying to really put themselves more in the mainstream as something legit. But I think it'll always have that stereotype behind it. I think some people just will never get behind it. I mean, do you get that feeling too? I mean, it's serious as you guys are trying to cover this as well, just like any other sport, because theoretically it is athletic like a sport. Do you still get that, I wouldn't say rejection, but that stigma around it when people read it and like, oh, this is pro wrestling?
You know, I get a little bit of it every once in a while, but it's almost like a parody at this point. Like, like maybe someone will tweet something at me and I'll just like, you know, retweet it publicly or something, because it's kind of archaic. But what's good about it too, I think that's helped kind of make wrestling more legit, is going back to what we talked about earlier, is it's entwined, it's becoming intertwined with pop culture a little bit. Like people like The Rock and, you know, Ronda Rousey last year, and it looks like Conor McGregor might go in, hopefully. So it kind of helps sell it to like the mainstream and get more people into it who might not really be thinking of it, and that helps get eyeballs on it too. So it's kind of a combination of all those things. I find that people respect it now and understand what it's all about. And either they like it or they don't. And if they don't like it, they're usually not that vocal about it.
Now, you said also that you also spent some time working with like the swimsuit section. Tell me, that's like not an, that's like an envious job over there. Like, what did your job entail there?
Well, that probably is. I probably should have led with that because that's probably the craziest part of my job.
Yeah, you like to talk about being envious, man. Like, everybody's envious of the New England Patriots and all the championships they won, and I'm sure they'll rectify it and stick it to the NFL and actually win another championship this year. Who knows? But working with the swimsuit edition, man, how do I land that job?
So it was just like kind of lucky, like, or not really lucky, that I had been at SI, you know. It basically, we have a blog called Swim Daily, swimdaily.com, which everyone should visit. And it's kind of like a 24/7, 365, you know, home of all things swimsuit. So, you know, if a model has a new ad out or if a new lingerie campaign or whatever, we'll have all the photos there. So basically, you know, the future of everything is digital, and the magazine only came out once a year. So I was, or we were finally able to launch a blog, which is Swim Daily, which covers everything. So with that blog means that we have to get content for it. So I've been on private planes with models where like 60 people and like 25 models and 25 other random dudes, of which I was one of them. And, you know, I've, you know, been on shoots, and everything, and I'm friends with most of the girls, and it's kind of crazy.
Andy, I don't want you to ever freaking tweet out that you're having a bad freaking day, okay? Because you got to be kidding me. Oh, my God. I'm like, really? Wow. Wow. That's all I got to say about that. Brian, if you have anything else to say.
No, I mean,
that,
I'm just reflecting back like to Dumb and Dumber and Harry and Lloyd walking down the street. Like, when are we going to catch a break? And all of a sudden, a bunch of swimsuit models, tropical bikini girls walk in, and I'd probably be dumb enough to say, oh, you know, a couple guys are on the other side. But no, yeah, I mean, it's who would not want that position, right, Andy?
And then in addition to that, there's like, you know, 100-something girls.
Talk slower.
Want to be models. And they, so like, I have to, so I will interview all them and we'll do photos with them.
So you get to know them before they become famous too.
Yeah.
So while your friend is traveling the indie scene, going to these grungy places, bingo halls, covering independent wrestling, you're covering the soon-to-be famous supermodel stars.
Yes, but all this is with a big caveat, which is that I'm married. I'm married to my lovely wife, Tori,
yes.
And I put her above all of those girls. But in these like kind of conversations about ridiculous jobs, like I kind of have this position where sometimes you're just like, I can't believe this is happening. Like last year, you know, basically when the swimsuit issue launches, they have like a 4-day launch party. So we'll spend a couple days in New York and then we'll go to Miami. So like the last day in Miami last year, there was like a boat cruise and I'm just walking along and there's like Darrell Revis just like hanging out on the boat that I didn't even realize he was on it. And I was able to talk to him for a few minutes and just random like famous people that like you're just like, wow. And you like catch them in a totally different setting than they're used to. So.
So now talking about these crazy parties that you go to, I mean, us being the envious ones listening to this, and you guys can listen to it on the High Spot Podcast, at High Spot Podcast, speaking to Andy Gray here, what about those parties become, what part of it becomes covering it, and what part of it becomes like the extra benefits where, oh, look, I'm enjoying the benefits of the job?
No, I think he's partying 100%.
I, on these launch weeks, actually, have been doing these photo diaries on top of, you know, what we do during the day. So I'll be taking photos of all the girls, like, behind the scenes, and then I'll, like, come home, and I'm usually, like, not in the best shape, and I'll post them all onto a blog post, and, you know, I'll get them edited before it goes up. So I'm still working, like, for the most part, but it's, you know, you basically have to be mature about it and know what you have to do beforehand and get that done, and then rock and roll.
All right, Andy, so here it is. Now, I know you're happily married, okay, but still we're all guys here. Mm-hmm. And so has there been, I know you said there's been hundreds and hundreds, but has there been one girl that just totally you saw and was like above any other girl? I mean, I don't want you to call people out here, but like I'm kind of asking you to. Has there been just like one that's been like, wow, you know, this is probably, you know, besides my lovely wife, has been the prettiest girl that I've ever seen?
Yeah, there was a girl, she was a rookie last year. Her name is Sophia Ressing, and she's from Brazil. And she came in, you know, it's like a mix of girls, but she's like 6 feet tall, and like she's Brazilian and just has like, she kind of has like a whole Sofia Vergara thing going on.
Nice.
Like, and she did like some salsa dancing for us during her like casting, and we just all kind of knew right away that she was one. And then another one I really wanted in the issue, but she didn't make it, was Josie Canseco, Jose's daughter, who was actually like super cool and really pretty. Like, I think, you know, she's super young, so she still might end up in there at some point, but she was really cool also.
When interviewing these beautiful women that you're unfortunately, you know, due to work, you have to be around, when you interview them, do you get the same conception like most of us always get? Like, for example, interviewing them, ask them, well, what's your ideal guy? And then they end up confessing, you know, I don't really go out on a lot of dates because a lot of guys are intimidated by me. Is it intimidating? For one, you want to be professional, obviously, and, oh, I'm around a bunch of beautiful women, huh? I want to be professional. Don't want a fanboy here. But is it intimidating when you're working with such beautiful women and just being around those types of settings to, you know, get your work done properly?
No. I'm so immune to objects at this point. Like,
of course, I'm so
immune. They have no impact on me.
No impact on you whatsoever.
Conceited or anything, but like, you know, it's like, you could be like the hottest girl in the world, but you have like something to do, and she comes like 15 minutes late and like still needs like makeup and comes with like an entourage of three and like makes your life hell, and like you realize they're not that pretty. So I've kind of been through like the, oh my god, this girl is beautiful stage, and now I'm in the like, I'm friends with them all stage, and I could never, I don't even like really look at them like
in that way.
Yeah, it's really weird. Like, they've, you know, like, you're really, like, with them, like, they're, like, topless with, like, their hands covering their boobs or something like that. And you're just, like, once in a while, you're just, like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm here. I'm so creepy. But they're supposed to be there, so it's cool. But for the most part, it doesn't really bother me. And honestly, a lot of the time, they're more intimidated by me because, like, the girls
are
there.
How awesome is that?
So the girls who are there for auditions, like, they want to be in the issue, and, like, part of it is what we do, because a lot of it's, like, personality. I mean, most of those girls have a ton of personality, and they're super cool, so, like, they know that they have to kind of, you know, impress us as well.
And, you know, SI this year came out with the, like, a double swimsuit edition, and actually had its first plus-size model, and Ashley Graham, and to me, I think she's stunning. I don't know if you've met her, because to me, she's out of every girl I've seen in the swimsuit edition, and there's been a lot, you know, Broken Decker and a bunch of them, but to me, I just find her stunning.
Yeah, I met her, the first time I met her, I was blown away both with, you know, how striking she was in person, and also she talked a lot, and I was really like, you know, most girls are shy, and when you're doing stuff on video, like, girls who talk a lot are like great, but, you know, she's great. Her husband I met, who's also super cool. That's what I mean. It's kind of weird. Like, you don't really think that they're real people, which is as weird as it sounds, that they're just, like, hot girls you look at, but then you sort of get to know them, and some of them you dislike and some of them you like, and she's actually one of them that I think is genuinely, like, a really good, nice person who I like a lot.
How big of a deal was it theoretically? Because, you know, she was actually considered a plus size model, and, you know, everybody talking in this day and age now with media and bullying and things of that nature of the perfect figure, everybody worried about body image. This was a pretty big step for Sports Illustrated swimsuit that somebody like her was actually found herself on the cover.
Yeah, I mean, Asai's always, like, if you look the last few years, like, Asai is definitely not, say, Victoria's Secret, which, like, every girl is, like, super skinny, and that's kind of the body you need for lingerie, but, you know, like, even, like, Kate Upton, who is, you know, probably still, like, our most famous model of the last 10 years, was curvy. She wasn't by any means skinny.
Yeah. Yes.
And I don't mean that in a bad way, and, you know, we have a couple girls who are ex-Victoria's Secret models who, like, tell us that they like us a lot more because we're more accepting of different bodies. And I mean, it's a weird thing where, like, women and men both agree. I think a lot of women really like to see it because they're like, this is someone who looks more like what I look like. And then men like it too, because I think men don't really like thick, skinny girls for the most part. I think, you know,
nope.
I think they like, you know, normal, healthy looking girls.
I got to have something to hold, Andy. I really do. I need something, you know?
They all can't be Victoria's Secret models, which is, it's the idea. It's not necessarily, I wouldn't say the obtainable, but it's the norm. this is the new norm now. I think everybody's getting away from, you know, having, even when you look at it from the other perspective of the guys, you know, you look at Muscle Fitness, the six packs, and, you know, everybody just wants to be healthy, clean. This is the reality of it. Here it is, down and dirty, enjoy type of thing.
I mean, before Andy too, like guys, it was like the clean cut, whatever. Now everyone's like growing the beard, you know, so it's like things are changing.
I know, it's so true, and like, and weird, like, most of the girls, like, a lot of their boyfriends, like, none of them are clean cut, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's what people like now.
One more thing, one more side note, Andy. When you're doing these interviews, and obviously a majority of these young and up-and-comers or even established supermodels have either boyfriends or husbands or whatever the case might be, you don't have to say who, but did you ever once come across and look and say, really?
Oh, my God, I was about to ask the same question.
She's with him? Because you were just talking about how most of these guys aren't clean cut.
That's a really good question.
Because that's happened to me a lot. Sometimes I walk down the streets of the city and I see a girl who I think, you know, oh, she's gorgeous. And all of a sudden you see the boyfriend walk around the corner with a cup of coffee and grabbing her bags. And you're like, really? Wow. Yeah. I didn't see that coming.
A little gut coming out, a little stubble. And, you know, you're like, what?
I think the one thing that surprises me, without needing any names, is like,
yeah, of course,
a couple of the guys are, I would think for whatever reason, would be a lot more jacked. And they're just like, kind of like more skinny, like artsy dudes.
Oh my God.
Which is like,
which means they have a great personality, right?
They love the mind. I love him for his mind.
Yeah, so that one, those are a little shocking, but like some of them are exactly, you know, what you think. And the other thing is most of them are like really good guys too. Like I've become, like that's another weird thing is like I found like a good in with the girls is to become like really good friends with their boyfriends who generally are like much easier to talk to because they're normal guys. So, and like, you know, because they're always going to be with the girl at the end of the night. So like you can ask, you know, you can kind of get some info from them. So that part's always cool too.
Yeah, cool. And do they seem very, like, okay with the fact? I mean, if the shoe was on the other foot, obviously. I mean, I've had a girlfriend. She was a model. And, you know, are most of these guys and husbands cool with
hey,
what they're
she's
what
the
they
breadwinner.
Do?
She's the moneymaker. I got to put up with it.
Yeah, I mean.
or else some muscle-bound guy is going to take my place. So I better be
not
okay
necessarily,
with it.
Jeff. Andy
or
just
some
confirmed.
Artsy dude might
they're not all muscle-bound guys, which means there's a chance for you and I in this scenario.
I mean, sometimes, like, I've been in situations, like, I'll be on a shoot, and, like, the boyfriend will be there, and it's, like, me, him, like, two gay guys, and, like, eight girls, and, like, we'll just look at each other and just shake our heads and be like, this is crazy. But, yeah, but it's fun. It's a fun time.
Hey, Andy, man, I think we could have a whole freaking show just on this, but I know you gotta bounce a big game, Celtics and Hawks. You think the Celtics actually can pull it to a game seven?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I am.
Wow, no hesitation at all in that answer.
Nothing. I was like,
that's a true fan right there.
I feel really good about them. I feel bad we didn't really get to talk about wrestling. I just watched NXT from last week to prepare.
Hey, I don't know if you heard, we're going to talk about this, but Eric Young showed up tonight at a taping.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great.
You can tell your boy to write about that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, sure. since before we wrap it up here and talk about wrestling, did you go to WrestleMania?
No, I messed up. The one I really wanted to go to was the one in New York a couple of years ago, and like I had some weird family thing, and I couldn't go. But,
29, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not really in the cards to like travel for that, and it's something I definitely want to do, but I haven't done yet.
Would you be tempted to go to the one in Florida? Does it depend on the card, or really just going there for the experience?
No, it's definitely going for the experience, yeah. And honestly, like I'd like to get SI's pro wrestling coverage to the point where, you know, it's like a job thing and I want to meet contacts and try to get stuff. So
Andy,
we can get there.
We went to we started at 29 and we've gone ever since.
I mean, I'm sure you have just as much fun at like the other indie shows and other stuff that goes on there as the actual event.
It's definitely the atmosphere there, and we've actually tried to do some coverage there as well. So, hey, if you ever need some extra hands to help you out, dude, by all means,
get back to us. To Andy? That's not fair.
Hey, dude, we have to help out our wrestling purists out there, because honestly, Andy, I think there are a lot less diehards out there, and when you do meet a diehard, you want to do everything you can to help them out, because the same thing, we want this business, you know, to be there
better,
when our kids watch it, and better, and how we enjoyed it back then during the Attitude Era.
Yeah, and like it's compelling personalities, and it's really up to like people like us to like find out what's compelling. Like just someone like Xavier Woods, who has like a PhD, like he has a really fascinating backstory that like people should know about, and it's up to like me and up to the people in my position to bring that to people.
You know what the highlight was of this past Mania? NXT. Nakamura and
Shinsuke Zane. Nakamura and Sami Zayn.
Yeah, I mean, when he debuts for WWE, I mean, that's going to be, like, the greatest thing ever. Yeah. I can't wait. So
that was electric, and Dallas is a beautiful city. And that stadium is legit huge.
Yeah, it's like it's basically its own planet there. But if you ever get a chance to, you know, SummerSlam, who knows? It's in Brooklyn too, so maybe you have opportunities to cover that as well for yourself to, obviously bring more knowledge to necessarily something that a lot of people, I guess, again, still to this day frown upon a little bit.
Andy, are you a Jersey guy?
Yes, I live in Jersey City.
Okay, well, again, I had a great time talking to you, and again, the offers always stands if you want to. Hop across the river and join us in studio. We'd love that sometime soon down the road.
Sure, sounds great.
All right, Andy, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Andy Gray, Jeff, catch him on Twitter.
Go Jets.
And best of luck to your Boston Celtics making it to hopefully a game 7 and make it to the second round, Andy.
All right, thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, take it easy, man. Bye.
Our thanks go out to Andy Gray.
What a great interview, man.
Oh, just amazing. You can follow him at Twitter at AndyGray25, of course, SI.com. That's right, folks. We got somebody from SI.com to come on the show, and he has the Extra Mustard section as well as Hot Clicks. Definitely must read. Just a very entertaining and fun guy.
You sound really surprised. Why wouldn't he want to be on this show? The High Spot Podcast.
No, I'm saying we get those kind of people.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I was about to
and
say.
And his job. I mean, who wouldn't want that job? I mean, damn, working with all those models.
Hey, I know sometimes I complain about working a lot, but you know what? I'll still burn the candle at both ends if I can do that too. But again, not only, you know, we joke about it too, but he's really passionate about what he does, and he's very, very good at it, which is, you know, something we admire too and we aspire to be. We always try to be the best at everything we do. Just a great conversationalist, really laid-back guy. We'd love to have him back on the show.
Yeah, I'm sure we will get him back on down the road. You're listening to the High Spot Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. Guys, payback is just around the corner. My thanks go out to Andy Gray. Brian, great show as always. You're listening once again to the High Spot Podcast. We'll be back soon with Payback Review and talk about all things in pro wrestling and in the world of sports and entertainment.
Catch you guys later.